Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small businesses. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity from Matty G Digital.
And we are recording from the Thrive Podcast Studio at Thrive Coworking Community, downtown Lindsay, Ontario at 18 Kent Street West. All right, we are here with Kevin Stapley returning to the podcast. And this is our first podcast not recording from Thrive in a very long time. And quick story, Kevin's here because he saw the post about Thrive closing, reached out to Matt, and has recently gone through a similar type decision. And we were like, let's hit record and have this as a podcast episode. So thank you for being here for that.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the invitation. Always a pleasure to come on and chat and, you know, contribute what I can. And in this particular case, I have something outside of my usual kind of forte or whatever you want to call it, just personal experience that aligns itself with Matt and kind of what you went through. So happy to sit and sort of chat about it and kind of the way things are these days.
Yeah.
The way times are for small businesses in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And how challenging it is.
Tell us about the business that you closed and maybe why. Just start chatting.
Sure. So my wife and I were the owners of Control V, which was the virtual reality arcade in the Lindsay Square Mall. And, we opened it up in January 2019, so a little over 5 years ago, maybe 5.5 years ago now. And we wanted to bring something very cool and fun to the community, right? We recognized that Kawartha Lakes in general, but Lindsay in particular, lacking things for fun, family activities for kids to do. Not that there's not anything to do, but there's not enough.
It's cool and it's different, though.
Yeah.
Control V,
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we found ourselves a franchisor with Control V, which is based out of Waterloo, to help us, you know, make it as good and cool as we possibly could and give us lots of support along the way. So, you know, we wrote up a business plan, ticked off all the boxes we could, did all of our research and everything else. But the one thing we didn't factor into it was a global pandemic hitting us about a year into the business. And that kind of just put the kibosh on all of our best laid plans. And we spent the rest of the time essentially just kind of trying to stay in business, not go out of business, keep the doors open when we're allowed to keep the doors open. And yeah, it was a wonderful business and we got to meet so many wonderful people in the community and so much about it was awesome, right? The people that came, they loved it. You know, we had so much going for us. But in the end, you know, largely I think because of the circumstances surrounding, you know, just the economy and society and small business struggles in general over the last 5 years, we just weren't able to make it, doable for us.
Yeah.
Right? Good enough for us, for what we needed it to be, to be able to support our family and that sort of thing. So sadly, we very recently made the decision to close it down and move on to other things.
How do you feel about it now?
I feel good about it.
Yeah.
Overall, I feel very good about it. Needed time. I needed time with my family, time to not be working 7 days a week, like big long days, and you know, whatever I was doing, in the back of my mind, there was always 100 other things that I had to be doing as well. So it's kind of nice now that I don't have all that going on. I've got some more time to just sit back, spend some time with my family over the past 2 weekends since we've been closed, which I haven't had weekends off in a long time. So a lot of yard work, housework, getting stuff organized, got the pool opened up for the summer.
When would you normally open the pool up in previous years?
During Control V years, we'd be struggling to kind of get it done by now.
Yeah.
Not even into the new year. The problem is I would start and then I would get busy and then over the course of a week, the pool just gets dirty again.
Yeah.
And then I gotta go back to it and whatever progress I made at, you know, one step forward, two steps back until eventually we got it done.
Yeah.
But this time I was able to actually get it open before summertime.
So how long did it take you, do you think, to make that final decision to close?
The decision itself was made pretty quickly, actually, because it was circumstantial for us. We reached a point where our everything was up for renewal. Our lease with the mall was coming up for renewal. our franchise agreement with Control V was coming up for renewal. Everything was 5 years. So we had to decide, are we going to renew the lease, renew the franchise agreement, and sign ourselves on for another 3 or 5 years and keep kind of grinding forward? Or are we going to take the opportunity to step away and just, you know, cut our losses and move on to other things, essentially? So we decided that for us, my wife and I and our family, what was best for us was for us to step away and move on to other things. So making that decision, what was best for us, was not that hard. Mm-hmm. And we had this motivator as we had to make a decision. There were deadlines, right, in terms of renewing everything. So that part was easy, but our plan was to sell the arcade, find a buyer. So we made the decision with quite a bit of runway so that we had lots of time to find a buyer and all that kind of thing. So that was the plan. We would sell the arcade would stay open, keep running, keep being there for the community. We could watch it continue to grow and thrive, you know, not under us, but you know what it's like when you create something and you build something up to a certain point, you want to see it continue on and you know, turn into something great. So that was the plan, and it was a good plan. But fortunately, it's challenging times, and you know, we were able to find what we thought was a buyer. And so as of March 1st, the arcade was supposed to have transferred ownership from us to this new buyer, this gentleman and his family. And, you know, I'll say about a week or so before that transition was to take place, there was a family emergency that came up on their end, and they actually had to move out of the country.
Oh.
So, it wasn't ideal for us, but circumstances are what they are. They had some family overseas and they had some health issues, so they had to move home to look after their family. So that kind of fell through all of a sudden and left us with no other options at the moment. And then we found another buyer that was going to come in and take over. Again, same thing, just stepped in and same terms, same everything, just sort of pick up where we left off. So that was supposed to have happened on May 1st.
Yeah.
And then on May 1st, essentially, it wasn't quite that date, but essentially the day we were supposed to sign all the paperwork to transfer the ownership over, I got a phone call and they backed out on us as well. Again, some other challenges on their end, and they had to reallocate resources unexpectedly. And as a result, you know, kind of what we thought was pretty much a done deal to sign in the paperwork. Everything had been negotiated, interviews had been done for staff.
Wow.
Everything was ready to go, literally ready to be signed.
Wow.
And, you know, stuff happens and yoink, right out from under us again. And at that point, we had no other options, no other leads. Our lease had already run out with the mall. We were on a month to month with them just so that we could keep making these other things work for us, right? Trying to be flexible. We kept kind of kicking the can down the road for a few months. But at that point, it's like, okay, well, we have nobody in line here to buy at this point. We're already several months, you know, longer than we intended to be. So we had to then make a decision. What are we going to do? Our options are either we renew a lease, which we'd already decided was not ideal for us. Mm-hmm. Or the only other choice was to give our 30 days notice and kind of wind things down.
Yeah.
So that's what ended up happening. Give a notice to the mall, and as of 31st of May, well, so the last Sunday of the month was our last day because we had to have everything out by the end of the month. Hmm. So we were open to the public until the last Sunday of May, and then by the 31st, we were dropping the keys off with the manager of the mall, and Control B is no more. Not in Lindsay, anyways. There's other locations, but the one here is done. But that's the stumbling story of how it all kind of played out. It's not the way we intended it.
No. Yeah, I think nobody ever gets into business with that in mind.
Yeah.
But what I like about it is, you know, making the decision of like what's best for your family. And sometimes it's like if it's not making you enough money or not providing you the life that you want, then you give it a good go. And it's time to move on to something else. And that's a brave choice. And so few people in the world will ever own their own business or know what it's like to experience kind of closing one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely entrepreneurship is risk.
Yeah. It's
risk
part of it.
Thing, right? You take the risk. There's always a chance that things don't work out the way you want them to.
And the pandemic is just such a destructive force, because the first 5 years are hard anyway, yeah. Especially, you know, in that business, I think there's nothing wrong with the model, the population, but you need to develop a critical mass of people who have it in their habits to go. Mm-hmm. So you might have once a week people, once a month people, three times a year people, and it takes you enough years to get enough people on those rotations to make it kind of probably as vibrant and full as you want. And when you have a couple of years in there where you just can't have people in, or they have other habits, it's so hard.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it was. Our first year, 2019, was our best year, mm-hmm. which is odd for a business 5 years in. It's not supposed to be that way. But yeah, from a revenue standpoint, our first year was our best year.
Wow.
Which means things were looking really, really good.
Yeah.
We came through our first year, you know, on a real positive note, and things were looking like they were all heading in the right direction. And then March 2020, the first closures came with COVID.
Yeah.
And so started, you know, years of open, close, open, but people being told not to go to business.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not a grocery store or mm-hmm. hardware store. We're not a need to have, right? We're a nice to have type thing.
Yeah.
So when people don't have extra cash, you know, their cash flow is diminished and cost of living is increased and they have to start cutting expenses here and there. It's that sort of thing that people start cutting first.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where, even after the pandemic ended and things kind of opened up full scale again.
I think people were also just so hesitant of what they were doing and like picking and choosing the activities that they were going for.
Yeah, so many factors.
Yeah, so it's all of these things, right?
Yeah, all the things that, you know, largely out of our control in that respect.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's things that we could have done differently or could have done better. There always is. But, you know, I'm not going to beat myself up on all that stuff.
Right? Yeah.
I think it through and I think about it and I identify a few things here and there. But largely, I'm convinced that we gave it our very best go.
Yeah.
And all the things that we could do right, I think we did do right. And at the end of the day, though, it's hard to compete with the things that we didn't have any control over.
Yeah.
And say over, despite how much of the much things you many things you can control, mm-hmm. and how good you plan things out and how much effort you put in and time and care, there's always those other things you have to hope just fall into place for you in order for everything to work out.
Yeah, because I thought about that too with Thrive, of what could we have done better or differently. And every time I think about it, I realize it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's closed now.
Yeah.
So am I going to turn around and try to open another co-working space tomorrow or anytime soon or in the future? Probably not. So like thinking about what's better, it's just, it's a waste of our energy and resources, right?
And you can't go back in time.
No.
Either, and you can't, you know, there's some rules around our imagination and kind of undoing things. And it's really tough. And yeah, there's probably was things you could do, but you didn't do them. Or you couldn't make that choice and do the things you were doing.
Yeah, and I told a story, I think, that we recorded on a different podcast that's going to be out. But it was driving me nuts in our boardroom, how it wasn't a cool spot to go and work. And you never left there thinking, I have to go back there. So I was like, we got to redo this boardroom. So literally 2 weeks before we decided to close, we did like a textured wall and we repainted it and made all these things. And then I was so happy and so proud of it. I'm like, this is going to be the thing that gets more people back. And a woman named Sheila came in, and she'd been in that room a handful of times before. This is her first time in the room since it was painted. went through a meeting, didn't say a thing about it. Nothing negative towards her at all. But in my head, I'm like, she didn't even notice. And then other people didn't even notice. So all the things that I thought needed to be better didn't matter. And then that's, I don't know how to put this in terms, like it's going to be my own like prophecy or like an antidote one day of like the painted room theory. Or like sometimes the things that you're focused on just don't matter and probably didn't, wouldn't have had an effect anyways.
Yeah,
it's, I think that's cool with any decision. The things you think matter. Mm-hmm. Like I learned this in doing theater, and like the things you think are going to impact people mm-hmm. don't impact people, but something does, and it's hard to know what are those things, and until you actually go into it you don't know, and it's the unintended consequences, and it can be luck either way. So there's businesses that do really well, and it's usually something that they could never have predicted or designed, and businesses that either do poorly or not well enough or decide to close again, it's, you know, sometimes there's the big obvious failures, but usually it's this, these little things that are just so hard to predict or even label.
Yeah, and I found exactly the same sort of thing with Control V over the years, right? We tried a number of different mm-hmm. strategies and approaches, all designed to get more people in the door, right? Things that on surface seem like really cool, big draws, right?
Yeah.
You know, things like, you know, running a league.
Yeah.
Right, that people would come in with a team and play VR at that particular time. We had something called Smashbox, which was like 3-on-3 dodgeball, essentially, right? A little cooler than typical dodgeball, but that was basically it. And had league, you know, it wasn't very expensive to sign up. Sign up your team of three, you can come in and practice for a low cost, and you come in and compete with other teams for the control of the organization over the course of the summer, and then there's a big tournament at the end, and there's cash prizes, and
yeah,
different kinds of prizes and stuff like that. And then we marketed like crazy, spent a bunch of money on marketing and all this kind of stuff. We had one team that came in and signed up.
Yeah.
And they were people that we already knew that came in and signed, which I'm glad we had that team, but they were already people we knew. They were already customers. They already knew about us.
Yeah.
We didn't get any, you know, new people.
Yeah, they were probably coming anyway. So when you look at like a share of wallet, it's like, I always look at like a Jack and Jill. People show up and they're going to spend $50 or whatever it is. And you can have one game or you can have 50 different games that's still $50. So it's like, you know, you want those people to come, but it's like they were maybe coming anyway.
Yeah, as it turns out. So no, that didn't really go the way we thought. We got a whole bunch of really awesome educational stuff, like grade 4 to grade 12. Mm. By proper educational VR, totally immersive field trips and dissections and building your own universes and
awesome.
Science and physics, and you name it. And we created a web page for homeschoolers and really focused, reached out to all the schools in the area, invited the principals in to come in and try it for free. You know, we hosted free evenings for, you know, parents to come in, who homeschool their kids, because we thought that would be a cool thing. But we learned that the homeschool community around here is quite a big community.
Yeah.
Right? And there's Facebook groups, and they interact a lot with one another. Hmm. So we thought, well, this would be a cool thing. Get people in during the day, families, things like that. We can offer something really awesome. And
nothing.
Not a single person.
Wow.
Ever came in. We marketed it, paid ads, posted it on Facebook, on their specific like homeschooling Facebook groups for Corth Lakes and stuff like that. Not a call, not a pop in, not an email, not a thing. Had a couple of principals from schools come in, check a couple of things out, but never materialized into anything. So again,
yeah,
didn't really work out for us there. Then we got a golf simulator, which is really cool, which Matt, you tried a few times.
It was great.
Yeah, it's a good experience. We offer you a discount rate. I thought it was something to get maybe some of the seniors in, especially during the winter, mm-hmm. and the golfers and things like that. Promoted that, and we've got a few people in for that, but it didn't take off the way I thought it would.
Hmm.
And honestly, I think so much of my decision and yours too, or the idea of like, are these things working or not? It's time. It has to just sit there and continue to marinate. But But then for me, because I think Thrive would be profitable in 3 years. I don't have that time. I don't want that, right? And for a time in my head, it's like, oh, it's 2 or 3 years, but that's a lot of money to lose in 2 or 3 years. That's $200,000 to $300,000 probably in that time, right? And I was like, do I want to continue this? No, I don't. And I'm curious if time is the biggest factor, like, do we want to keep doing that? When do you think you would have closed if you didn't have that, quote, deadline of all the stuff expiring? Had you thought about it in those 5 years of like, maybe we should close?
Honestly, no. Mm-hmm. Not in a serious context. Because mm-hmm. I was all in when we got all in.
Yeah.
Right? It was all about making it work and growth and things like that. And I knew that failure wasn't an option, at least for the first 5 years, because we had all these financial commitments and we'd invested so much money into the business. So that's kind of where my focus was. Mm-hmm. Was focus on actually making it work and finding ways to make it work, mm-hmm. and trying different things. It wasn't until we came up to the point where we actually had a decision to make that I stepped back and thought seriously, okay, it's been this long, this is where we're at. Kind of like you said, mm-hmm. like any prospect that things might turn around in a significant way in the near future, and the answer was no. Right? 3 years from now, same for you, I think probably would be awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
I think similar, like Thrive and Control V are similar, because there was, to me, countless reasons to stop it. There was a very small handful of reasons to continue. And one of which was similar to Control V. This is cool and this makes sense and this should be successful.
Yes.
And that was one of the things that I still think, like, this doesn't make sense that it didn't add up yet. And that was frustrating. And like, I've been to Control V a handful of times and you feel bad, like, as a consumer and a friend, and like, I could have done more type of thing. No, but then at the same time, it's like, it is hard to get your butt up, and there is competing stuff and there's all these things. Absolutely. And it's just like, it's just a challenge.
Yeah, and it is, and everybody's got a lot going on, and I don't point my finger at anybody at all. You know, the people that did support us continue to support us, yourself included. Not, right? You came in yourself, you came in with friends, you came in with your family.
Yeah,
repeatedly, right? Tremendous support. The thing for us is we needed more people.
Yeah,
not necessarily the same people coming more often. We needed more.
It needed a bigger.
It needed to keep growing in that respect. And that's the part that was slow.
Yeah.
And bogged down. It wasn't hard to get people to come back mm-hmm. once they came the first time. The challenge was getting people in the door and a headset on their heads the first time. Mm-hmm. That was the biggest overall marketing challenge for us.
I think too, I was thinking about, like, this morning, about like just the critical mass and the externalities of having other things around. And it's like, everyone agrees, oh, Lindsay needs stuff for kids, mm-hmm. or we need places like it. And you look at other towns with bigger populations, they'll have a place that has like a bunch of that stuff together. And, you know, everyone kind of does well because of that critical mass. Whereas yeah. I think people, like, they get up on Saturday morning and they leave and they go drive somewhere else that has a few different things to do. And it's like, here there's lots of things when you know they exist, but it's like a bunch of small things that you have to know about. And I just think if the mall was more fun, you probably, in general, you would have drawn more people in, because
yeah.
it's just one of those places where, I don't know, I've ever been there and there's like a bunch of people with kids running around having fun. And I grew up in Belleville, and the Quinty Mall was a fun mall to go to.
Yeah.
And like, that in that mall would have been a completely different business, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Kids definitely aren't hanging out in the Lindsay Square Mall. Right? People are there to shop, looking what they want, and they go. Definitely.
I like that mall, actually.
It's a nice mall.
And like my kids love going to, what's the video game place that's there?
EB Game?
It's not GameStop. EB Games. Yeah, GameStop. Place is great. I would lose a fortune in there if I actually started spending money, because it's just like the nerd in me and the child in me wants to go buy all the little knickknacks and stuff. Yeah, so it's interesting.
Yeah, it's just kind of a, it's a weird time. Retail, brick and mortar retail, is not, it's not a good time for those businesses either. And malls, and enclosed malls in particular, are struggling more and more, right? The strip malls and the open air malls, or whatever you want to call them, seem to be doing a little bit better. It costs less to operate and maintain, so the rents tend to be cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
But malls like the Lindsay Square Mall or the Quinte Mall or the Oshawa Center, right? They cost a lot of money to run these things. So it costs a lot of money to have your store in places like that, which means you have to generate that much more revenue to make everything work out and worthwhile, and it just kind of compounds into the challenges.
If you didn't have that deadline of lease coming up and franchise coming up, do you think you would have thought of closing?
At this point in time, after being at for this long and, you know, looking at where we are, where we need to be, and seeing that it's still pretty far off, and, you know, looking back on a month-to-month kind of basis, that seeing that we're really, we're kind of just hitting more of a flat line, right? We're just about the same month after month after month. There's not really a lot of growth there. And I would probably at this point start thinking seriously about it. You know, the fact that we did have to make a decision definitely was a catalyst for it happening. But, you know, you'll reach a point where you have to start reassessing your circumstances and prioritizing what your value was, right? The whole idea for us with the arcade as a family was we would really, really dive headfirst into it for a couple of years and really build it up and really watch costs and expenses, and then start staffing it and stepping out and working more on the business, less in the business, and have, you know, people in the community running it for the most part on a day-to-day basis, and we would take a less active role in the day-to-day and focus on the other things. Right? I have other businesses and other things that I do, as is my wife, right? She works full-time for the school board. So we already had other things on the go. And it got really hard to keep the arcade going because we didn't reach the point where we could have staff. So, which meant it was still largely us running it, you know, every weekend and all that sort of thing. And we never really hit the point that we had intended to, which meant trying to do the other things and our other responsibilities and other businesses and that sort of thing got harder and harder. And, you know, you start to wear out and burn out, and the stuff that's cool and fun stops being as cool and fun anymore, and things start to almost feel like a burden when they're not supposed to be a burden. Right. So all that kind of stuff builds up in time. And of course, you know, my business partner is my wife, so we have our own family personal relationships, and me as a father, right, being away from home so much, you know, I took on the role for the most part of trying to do as much of that as I could so that my wife and my kids wouldn't have to do as much of it. Right, so that kept me away a lot. And over the years, you miss, you miss things, you miss milestones, you miss time, which you can't get back, so.
So for your next business, what have you learned about, you know, maybe some of those boundaries or moving on? Would you change timelines, or if you were to go into something like this again, kind of what would your number one piece of advice for yourself be?
For me, I think I would probably steer away from a brick and mortar type of business, because it really ties you down, right? You have a business that's open certain days a week, it's opens at this time, closes at this time, whether you have work or not, whether you have business customers or not, you have to be there to open the doors, and you have to be there all the way through the day. It's also a lot more expensive, you have much greater overhead. My other business that I run is largely service-based. right? I either go to a location and provide a service, or it's not online, or I can work on it from home, like a home office type deal. I can keep my expenses significantly lower. And so I think that's, for me, where I need to focus a little bit more on businesses that don't have that so much overhead, and I don't have to generate so much revenue just to cover my expenses to try and eke out a profit down the road.
Yeah.
So it was a great experience, and I definitely take the lessons that I learned from that. So fortunately, I now have, you know, exactly what I want, the way I want it, the way things are set up for me right now professionally and personally as well. So I'm excited for, you know, the next 5 years.
Has it discouraged you at all from other business opportunities?
I wouldn't say discouraged. It made me a lot more cautious and a lot more leery, maybe. Like I said, if somebody were to approach me with a business opportunity and I saw a lot of overhead involved, you know, a reasonable amount of risk to reward, like just to return, and something that might suck up a whole bunch of my time, then I would probably, I don't care how good of a business it was, it wouldn't fit within my priorities at this point. I'm trying to simplify things for me these days. Give myself some time to just relax, spend time doing things with my family, with my friends, go and spend time with my, you know, my dad, who I haven't seen a whole lot of. He's just in Oshawa, but we're working 7 days a week.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's phone calls here and there and that sort of thing. So spend some time with him. And my, you know, my siblings and my whole family, right? And try to reconnect with everybody. That's my priority right now. I got to pay the bills. Other than that, I want to just enjoy.
Yeah, enjoy life.
Yeah, exactly. So I find myself in that position right now, and I'm happy to be there.
You've always been a calm, casual person, but you seem a bit looser. In a good way.
Okay.
You seem like I can hear it and see it in your mannerisms a bit, that a bit of the weight's been off. So that's good.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Not the weight of the entire world.
Yes. When I recognized that it was becoming a burden, if you will, then I recognized the physical weight that was on me. And then the idea of that not being on me got me very excited.
It feels good, doesn't it?
Oh, it felt so good. I remember the day that I thought about what life would look like without Thrive. And I went, like, I got goosebumps. I'm getting goosebumps now because I just was like, oh, that sounds really good. And I feel really good now. I find now I have time to think and I have time to just be. So I'll sit there with the kids and I'll be like actually engaged and thinking about them versus this burden of like, oh my gosh, there's all these things that aren't working and how do I make them work? Or I joked, but it's true, on another, again, podcast we recorded, but I'll sit outside and I'll stare at a tree and it's great. I think about this tree and like, man, it's sweet just being a tree. Look at the way it's moving and this and that. Like, I'm not worried about anything. I'm not freaking out about all these other things. Like, there's still a long way for me to like completely remove myself from that business, but I'm on that path and it feels great.
Yeah, it really does. And I was concerned whether or not I would be able to do that, make that detachment.
Yeah.
Because I'm just so used to always having a million things.
Yeah.
That anytime I try to relax and just look at a tree or just kind of be present, in the back of my head, there's always this voice, right? It's always, well, you know, this isn't very productive. You should you really should be, you know, checking out your marketing. You really should be doing this, right? How can you get more people in the door? All this kind of stuff, and then try to balance my other business on this as well. In fact, all that kind of stuff in, like, that voice is always going on in your head. So I wondered, heading into it, am I going to be able to quiet that voice? Am I always going to feel like I'm wasting my time doing what, you know, other people would consider a priority?
Yeah.
But kind of like I'm sure you experienced as well, Matt, when you close a business and it's closed, then, you know, that voice did go away almost immediately because there was nothing in that area anyways of my life. To do, like, there was nothing being neglected, nothing to be, you know, handled or problems to be solved or anything. It literally just went away. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to just sit at the campfire, you know, with my family and just chit chat with the kids and just watch the fire.
Yeah.
Then that voice going on in my head. So that was a relief. I guess, for lack of a better word.
Oh, absolutely. Relief is the biggest word, I think. Just, and someone that moved stuff, like offices recently, just think about how you're carrying something heavy all the time and then you put it down. That's what you feel like now. That's what I feel like now. We're like, wow, that was a relief. That was really hard and it was heavy. And now I don't have to carry that anymore. And that feels great. Yeah. And that's how I feel. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think until you go through the process of being in the business or a project and like closing it and putting it behind you, it's, I think it helps you appreciate life more. I think it helps you even appreciate your new ideas more, or even just sometimes we get this desire where we have to do something in a business and you push it forward or it doesn't work. But going through that, realizing it's a weight, releasing it, I think just gives you such a better perspective on life, get better perspective on business, and it probably helps with any future projects that you're going to do as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was a big motivator for me in the decision, we already chatted about the decision to close it down. It was, what would it feel like if I didn't have, right? This is a conversation that I had with my wife, because, you know, she's always concerned that I'm too busy, I take on too much. You know, she's concerned for my well-being all the time. But it's a burden on her too, right? She'd work all day, then have to go a few nights a week, spend the night at the arcade, and then she was there almost every weekend, right? It was a burden on her, burden on me. So when we kind of thought about it, it was, well, what would it feel like to not have this? And we were like, you know what? It would feel really, really good.
And did you want the arcade more than her?
Like at the very beginning, you mean? I would say most likely, yeah.
So I'm the same. So to me, it was, it's a burden on me, it's a burden on her, and then it's even more of a burden because I put this burden on her.
Yeah.
And like there's that feeling the whole time too. So
yeah.
A lot of burdens being relieved.
Yeah.
And what's so cool is like, and being close to you and Maggie G is like, you see going through that and being able to like label and see that makes everything better, I think, going forward. Mm-hmm. Like you're able to talk through those things and understand and label that stuff, which I think is just going to make future decisions just better and get you closer to what you really, really want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you think you know what you want, right? And you need experiences like this to refocus on your, what your priorities actually are.
Yeah.
Right. Especially as time goes by. It would have been better to have sold off the business for a tidy profit and then moved on and watched it grow. I mean, that would have been the ideal situation, right? But that didn't happen. Second best would be to sell the business off for something, which is better than nothing.
Yeah.
And move on and have the business continue. That was what we were looking at doing. Mm-hmm. Like that was the reality that we were striving for.
Yeah.
But in the end, it didn't work out. We'd already made the determination, you know, if we can't sell it, we're still going to close it. You know, we already had decided, you know, this is what we want, but if not, this is what we're going to do. Yeah. So when it kind of fell apart on us last second, it wasn't like there was this big moral dilemma that we had to have. It was like, okay, well then this is the next thing. We already made the decision. So it was just a matter of sending out an email to give our notice and kind of move forward. So we had the foresight at least to consider all options. So we knew what we wanted, but we knew what we were prepared to do. But at the end of the day, you know, the weight's lifted one way or another, even if it isn't exactly how we ideally would have, you know, how we foresaw ourselves stepping away from it. We still met our personal objectives, which is time and freedom.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, any final thoughts?
I was hoping not discouraging people from trying to start businesses.
I don't think so.
I think this is part of it, and I love thank you for having this conversation and, you know, Matt for being open. I think it's an important part of it. I don't think it's a discouraging thing, but I think we need people to take risks like this. Like, businesses exist because people, you know, you kind of bet against the consensus and it doesn't always work out. But like, it also, you know, I don't love the word failure either, because like, people have this image in their mind of like a crash and burn sometimes. And like, life ends and your identity is ripped away from you. But like, both of you are fine. You didn't, you know, you're alive, you're well, you're on to new things.
Yeah, it's not like the business police came to either of our businesses and arrested us and handcuffed us. It's not like that. And I think if, it's not a failure. Brian and I are very much on the same page of that. But I think if anything, it's maybe encouraging people that are suffering to seek help. Not even like the personal mental health side of things, but if your business is suffering, and it might be time to make that decision. That sounds tough. And people have said, oh, that was a really hard decision to end that business. But like, it was a lot easier than how I felt the last 2 years.
Once the decision's made, and sometimes you start to feel that weight lift.
Getting
to the point where you actually commit to a decision.
Yes.
And that's the hard part.
I respect that so much. In my years of working in banking and then in accounting and a lot of businesses, so many people won't make that decision, and it just drains the life force from them and their families. Yeah. And sometimes, again, it's not your fault. It's not that you did something wrong. There's just, there's a million factors and you can't guard against all of them. And you just need to make that big decision.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have no regrets. Like, I don't regret looking back on the last 5 years. I'm not sorry that we opened the arcade. I don't wish that, you know, we had just not bothered with it at all. Right. It was a cool business. It made a lot of sense at the time. Right, there were a lot of outside factors that happened, right, that nobody really foresaw, and that's just the way it went. But you know, we're now really excited that we got to bring something cool.
Yeah,
you did it.
You really did. You did.
Yeah, and so you know, we're proud of what we did accomplish. Would have been nice to see it kicking around a little longer, but you know, we did get to do that, right, and bring something cool to the community. And get to meet a lot of cool people, and you know, so we're proud of it.
Awesome.
Right? No regrets.
It's a great place to end. Thank you for doing that, and thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
And that's our show. Matt, what do you want the people to know, and where can they find you?
I want them to go to mattygdigital.com and book a call.
Awesome. And I want them to go to profitcoach.ca and book a call with me. If you'd like to be on the podcast, please reach out to us and we can make that happen at setitup@kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.